Welcome to On the Beat, where we bring you a different Buffalo Bills beat reporter every week, exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network.
Welcome everybody. After a short hiatus honoring our veterans here in this wonderful country we live in, we are back with another episode of On the Beat here on Tuesday night on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. I am the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He is John Fina, and joining us from the NFL channel on SiriusXM, Niagara Falls native Zig Fregassi joins us. We are fired up for this one. We're returning the favor, Zig. Or actually, you're returning the favor. So John and I have both been on your show on the XM channel, SiriusXM. Now we get to have you on with us, man. How you doing?
Jerry O, it's a treat being with you. Of course, John, remember having him on after the draft talking about the young man from Arizona who was taken in the first round. First time since Mr. Fina went over by the Bills in 1992. So I guess I am returning the favor, but it's great to be with both of you guys. This is going to be really good.
Now, if you remember, now Zig's been with the you've been with the NFL channel for how many years now? 20 some years?
Actually, since year one, which would be 2004. I'm kind of like all in the family. I was a mid-season replacement, but came on board.
Hey, Jerry was one of those too.
Yes, I was.
That's a good precedent.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously it's gone very well since, and I still think we have the best coverage of the National Football League. Bill Polian, of course, esteemed former Bills general manager, among others, host of great guests and lineup throughout the day, MVPs, great analysts. So 20 years going, very honored and privileged to be part of that.
And as always, if you're watching on Facebook Live or over on X, jump over to YouTube, get in the comments like Tracy, Richard Rush, Bella, Mimi Fina with an appearance tonight.
The indomitable Mimi Fina.
She must not have anything to do. Did you tell her that she has to go out and get a job yet, John? I mean, she graduated. Now it's time to go work, right?
Yeah, she's got an exam to pass, so she's fervently studying for that, and she's residing here with the family. And once she passes that exam, she'll be available for clinical mental health counseling positions all across these great 50 states.
That's awesome. So Mimi joins us. Richard Rush, as always. Maggie, thanks for joining us tonight. Again, just hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button over on YouTube. Definitely hit that subscribe button. It helps us out. We're excited. We got a lot of cool stuff going on here on Overreaction Buffalo. We'll let you in on as the offseason goes along. We talk again. Zig, a Niagara Falls native. If you remember, you were also at the inception, I believe, of the Empire Sports Network. Were you not, Zig?
That was a little after I got there, Jerry O. I got there around 2001 after working 16 years in Las Vegas, and was grateful enough to have been hired at the radio station, which was the sister station, WNSA 107.7. Right. But I also appeared every once in a while on the Empire Sports Network. So I got to know you guys back there, and, you know, great lineup, Howard Simon, Jim Brinson, Bob Trimble, a great sports cast there. And then, unfortunately, after a couple of years, things went awry, but still, it was a great experience getting the chance to cover you guys and, of course, the Sabres, the Bandits, and the Bisons, all the different teams in Western New York.
Hey, important Niagara Falls question for you. Do you know Gary Lisinski or Blue Lou Massari? Those are some of my boys from back in the day.
Actually, the second name sounds kind of familiar, but I've been out of the Falls for so many years, although I think they
really... So you escaped. Good on you. You got out.
Yeah, exactly. Although the Como, I think, is going to be reopening, the great Italian restaurant on Pine Avenue, so hopefully that resurfaces.
Blue Lou, wasn't he a member of the Blues Brothers band?
He could have been, man.
I believe he was. Hey, Zig, we brought you on. Obviously, this is On the Beat, and we do this on Tuesdays. We're so happy you're with us. And just real quick, you know, we're going to obviously talk about the Bills, and you have a much different perspective than some of us. You have a national view. You're around a lot of people that cover the entire National Football League. You cover the entire National Football League with the likes of Vic Carucci and others. And just real quick, what is that national view right now, this Bills team rolling through the offseason as we head to the 2024 season.
Jerry O, I think it's one of maybe a transition, if you will, but it's not a fall off the face total rebuild. I think it's more of a, you know, a remodel on the fly, which is what I think a lot of teams are trying to do here. I don't think the Bills are, in the public perception, at least number one. It's still Kansas City, and rightly so, because they are the two-time defending champions. And then probably Cincinnati, even though they were 9-8 last year, but the return of Joe Burrow enhances their value quite a bit. I think Baltimore in some perceptions is probably a little higher because the Ravens did get to the AFC championship game after a lot of years last year. So I would say probably the Bills, at least in terms of the, you want to call them power rankings here, maybe fourth or fifth, at least in terms of perception from my callers and from some analysts I've listened to and talked to, they're probably fourth or fifth as we sit here at the end of May.
And, you know, you talk about that and you talk about a soft rebuild, and that's kind of what I want to lead into this next question. You know, do you still believe the Bills are the favorite to win the AFC East? I know the Dolphins get a lot of pub. Obviously, if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy, that's the team that I actually fear the most in the AFC East. Yep. Not the Dolphins, it's the Jets, because I think that with Aaron Rodgers, they're a complete football team. But do you still feel the Bills are that favorite in the AFC East?
I would say so, because Miami, I mean, you lose Wilkins, you lose a bunch of free agents there. You know, is the Tua situation, are they going to get a contract done for him? That remains to be seen. You mentioned, Jerry, and I heard you do that on Overreaction Buffalo, your concern about the Jets. And obviously Aaron Rodgers, that's going to hold all the cards there. But you're also basing this, if you will, on a lot of ifs. Tyron Smith, does he stay healthy? Mike Williams, does he stay healthy? Does that defense continue to perform at a high level? And this is where I still like the Bills. Yes, they've turned over a lot in terms of Diggs, in terms of the defense and some of the players that they've lost. But you still have your core guys there. You still have your very good left tackle in Deion Dawkins. You still have the quarterback. You still have a very solid line. I think James Cook is a very good running back. Defensively, they appear to be pretty solid. So I would say that, and yeah, they took that big hit to let Diggs go, but I heard Brandon Bean talk about that. Get it out of the way now. We're still going to be competitive. We're still going to be very good. So I would still say the Bills are probably at the worst, a co-favorite in the AFC East.
So, Zig, everybody chips away at the wide receiver situation in Buffalo, letting Diggs go and Gabe Davis, and then kind of rebuilding with some free agents and in the draft somewhat. But, you know, there's some contention about other position groups in Buffalo. Can you know, which one or two pop up to you as, hey, guys, this is a little bit of a either a concern or a red flag for the Bills to go deep into the playoffs?
John, I think you talked about it, and I brought it up very well there, the wide receiver spot. Obviously, you lose an A-list talent like a Stephon Diggs, there's going to be a lot of concern. But I think this could be a benefit because now – with Josh Allen, and obviously you still have time to, you know, reconfigure the offense and where this is going to go, you're going to incorporate the rookie Coleman. You've brought in a veteran like a Curtis Samuel, Chase Claypool. Maybe, you know, he finally regains the form from his first year in Pittsburgh. MVS, who did have a lot of drops last year with Kansas City, but it seemed as though whether it was the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, the guy was making plays. Where I'm going with this is, maybe it forces Josh Allen to, you know what, maybe not play hero ball all the time. You have more targets to incorporate. So maybe from that standpoint, you've got a different and deeper pool of receivers to work with. I don't know if the Bills are going to incorporate having the great tight end Kincaid and utilize him more with Dawson Knox, a la what the Patriots did back in the day with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. Maybe that's an option too. So I'm with you there with the receivers. You also look to Gregory Rousseau, former first-round pick. They did pick up the fifth-year option, so they obviously think there that he's going to be a guy that's finally going to produce on a consistent basis. If he doesn't, that's why I raise a few red flags. then you've basically revamped your safety spot there. No longer it's Hyde and Poyer, but you add in a Taylor Rapp, Mike Edwards. You know, they may not be the sexiest
position. And the rookie out of Utah.
Yeah, Cole Bishop, who I love. I'm a little biased to Utah guys because I think Kyle Whittingham is the most underrated collegiate coach in college football, and they always produce top-level talent. You just don't hear a whole lot about them. But those guys that I just mentioned, they got the jewelry. They got the Super Bowl. And I think anytime you add that winning cachet to your locker room, that's where it's going to help. So I need those guys and I need the receivers, John, to step up in 2024.
I so agree with you on the Kyle Willingham comment.
He's great, isn't he?
Oh, he's awesome. I mean, the kid's in, and we got Kincaid. Obviously, yep. He started at the University of San Diego before he transferred to Utah, but another kid, just no-nonsense football players, and they play tough. They're tough kids, and, you know, everybody wants to gloss the SEC, but if you go out of the SEC and you look at programs out there that put pros into the league, Utah is one of those programs.
And they're Big 12 now, right? I mean, yeah. You're in the high IM stickers, right?
Wow. RIP to the Pac-12, baby. It was a mercy killing, Zig.
I just want to go ahead and kind of piggyback a little bit on your wide receiver comment, because there seems to be this new trend across the league, and I don't know if you've talked about it on your show or not, and Zig Fricassi joins us from the NFL channel, SiriusXM, but you know, before it was always, we need a wide receiver one, we need a wide receiver two. And then you're looking at Miami, who has three or four guys that can all be similar, and Kansas City that seemed to be wide receiver by committee. And now you look at Houston and Tank Dell, and they add Diggs, and they have guys across the board. Is the wide receiver position, instead of worrying about having that one dominant guy, is it becoming like the running back room, to where we want to have three to four guys across the board, because defenses have gotten kind of caught up a little bit in taking away that one dude, but you better have other guys that can complement that guy to be successful in the passing game in the league.
I think that's fair to say. I think what another factor you got to look at all those two guys is when you start getting the top guy, the diva, if you will, that can become, and you guys speak this better than I can, because you're both players in the league. If you get that diva, it kind of creates a negative connotation. And it's like, you know, none of us were there every day, but you had to think maybe Stephon Diggs and some of what his going on with the Bills in the locker room and how it affect the game plan. It trickles down, guys. So I think if you've got a situation where the Bills have maybe three or four different options, you're not worried about said diva. I got to get 8 to 10 catches a game. I could spread this around very well. So maybe this is one of those trends that's going to be developing as time goes on.
You know, I would contend, dovetailing on that, Zig, that the most important person to be in the film room and doing studying is Joe Brady, right? If you're going to do whatever, however you want to name it, wide receiver by committee, you've got to expand your philosophy, right? So what's your take on that and Joe Brady's need for development, maturity, philosophy growth?
Well, I think he's going to grow along, John, like the rest of them. I mean, you got to look at the fact that you've had so much turnover in the roster, and this is what his first year and a half now. This will be his first full year calling the plays. So I'm sure going through the OTAs like they are right now, it's like, all right, what does Curtis Samuel do well? What does Keon Coleman do well? What is, you know, Shakir? What do all these guys do well here that, okay, I got to make a mental note of this. I got to incorporate all this. And, oh, yeah, I got to think about my quarterback here, which today I think he spoke and said that this is still Josh Allen's offense. So where you go with that, too, is, do you want him still running the ball a whole lot? Do you want to diversify a little bit more? So I think, guys, that this is going to be one of those processes where he's going to continue to learn. Everybody's going to continue to learn. And quite frankly, I would say this is rather fascinating that this concept can even go like this, because now you're not worried about having to cater to the one big dog, so to speak. Now you've got more weapons that you can use to consolidate.
You know, Zig, John brought up Joe Brady, and I think it's a good point. Joe Brady had a press conference today, and they talked about his offensive philosophy and what he's about. And he corrected the room real quick, and he was like, look, this isn't Joe Brady's offense. This is Josh Allen's offense.
Absolutely.
We're going to run what he's comfortable doing. So all the stuff that we did before I took over is not necessarily bad. There's a lot of good stuff there. Now, obviously, he'll have his twist on some things, but when you hear those words and you see the onus put upon Josh Allen, which it rightfully should be, because right. he is the alpha on this team, and this team will go as he goes. How do you, when you see this, you talk about Josh at this point in his career, what do you think he needs to do to take his game or take this team to the next level, which is being in a Super Bowl and eventually winning this thing?
Well, I mean, he's been, you know, a one man gang here the last, you know, several seasons. That's a really good question, because he's been very, very good. I suppose, you know, he's got to cut down on the interceptions, because those seem to creep up a little bit last year. Ideally, I think you want at least a 2-to-1, maybe 3-to-1 ratio in terms of touchdown passes to interceptions. And Josh was not even, you know, 2-to-1. So that was a little bit of a concern. I think it's one of those things, maybe not just be so reckless after a while, because now, Jerry O, you mentioned this is what, year number 7, and you don't want to take the aggression away, but, you know, maybe he can't scramble as much as he did, you know, earlier in his career. So that's why I think, you know, you want to keep the deep ball in there. You want to keep everything going. But like I say, you got to also utilize what you're already on your roster. And if there's things that, you know, Josh would even suggest, like I mentioned earlier with the two tight ends being out there, I would like to see a little more of that. So be a little more diversified. Even if you have to use a shorter pass game, you know, keep the wear and tear off you and give your offensive line a little bit of a break too. So there's not a whole lot I would say, but maybe just not take as many hits, defer a little more. You know, not every play needs to be 85 yards either. So sometimes, you know, I hate to say death by 1,000 paper cuts, but sometimes that works too.
So almost, and obviously protecting the football is a big deal,
right.
But it's almost as if, and kind of reading between the lines, the other 52 need to elevate their game
absolutely
to the level of the one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, Josh is the alpha, as you talked about here, but, and again, this is where I think that this is going to be a very interesting offseason with all these new guys meshing in. In addition, you know, to some of the guys that you still have on this roster, it's going to take time. So that's why these, you know, these OTAs and all that to me are very important. Although I saw something today where I guess they're considering actually cutting back on this and ramping up things more. You saw that, Jerry? Oh, I couldn't believe what I read, right?
I mean, John, we've already gotten rid of helmets for 90% of this, because that's too stressful.
Right.
I guess we got to cut the number of OTAs down too.
Yeah.
I just wish that the CBA would trade a little bit for guys like us, right? So the guys that make the money that are employed by the league have all the leverage, and they're always trying to improve their quality of life. They never look at what it's going to be like after they're retired. But I do think, and I believe that reducing the opportunities for them to get together, it just doesn't bode well for the type of play we see during the season.
No, I agree. And especially in an instance like this with the Bills, with so many new faces, or even a coaching staff that's just taking over. You know, you're trying to implement, like in Chicago, what they're trying to do there, obviously, with Caleb Williams and Odunze and the Bears. I mean, last week we were talking about this on the show that Caleb's a bust after one or two OTAs, for goodness sake. So I'm kidding on that. But the point right. is, you know, that extra time needs to be considered, because you got a new staff.
But John will tell you, I mean, this is prime negotiations from the NFL, because ultimately, what do they want? They want an 18th game, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So if we dangle the carrot, so to speak, and we we take away a couple things, you'll be, you know, it's like shiny thing. We'll pay attention to that, and we won't pay attention to the fact they just slipped three more games into the schedule, right? Yeah. I mean, I sit back and laugh because to me, it's like Lucy pulling the ball from Charlie Brown. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again, but you know, I digress. It's silly. But anyway, Zig Fercassi joins us, NFL Channel, Sirius XM, kind enough to join us today here on The Beat. John Fina with us. Again, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you're watching on X, hop over to YouTube if you get a chance, get in the comments, join the show, put something good up there, we'll add it to the show. But you know, June 1, the Bills will pick up an extra $10 million, Zig, on cap relief. That Trey White release will come into consideration. They'll pick up $10 million. There's a lot of people out there that believe then that's when the Bills are going to jump. They're going to go find this receiver when they get $10 million. What are your feelings on what the Bills might do with this extra cap relief and this roster?
Casino. Go to the casino, right, Zig? Yeah. Come on.
Oh gosh, yeah. You could go there. I mean, my gosh. And it, well, at least there though, you have a chance of not getting anything. So at least with that is a really good question. But here's the thing now. The way I would answer that too, guys, is I'd have to see what these other teams are cutting on June 1st. We may not know that, you know, Team X, let's go a wide receiver that, oh, geez, maybe the Bills would be interested in. I mean, if you wanted to look at receivers, for example, as far as I know, Michael Thomas is still out there, formerly of the Saints. I don't know if that's a fit. Maybe Renfro, if the Bills wanted to add another slot receiver, that could be a possibility. If I'm looking at corners, I doubt, you know, a Stephon Gilmore redo would help. I'll tell you where there's a ton of safeties. I mean, you look at like a Simmons, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs. I don't know if the Bills are going to want to swing for the fences there, although Simmons, I think, would be a monster add, a real good leader there. So there's some intriguing possibilities. But again, I'm sure Brandon Bean and them are figuring out, you know, we already know these guys are still out there because they haven't been signed yet. But come June 1st, oh, there's that quote surprise cut that maybe none of us knew that the Bills could be after.
I think you're absolutely right. It's nice to sit around and think about who's available now or what's going to happen, but you got to be poised and looking at every roster and looking at that wire, because you're right. I mean, there's a number of position groups where for that $10 million amount, you might find the right guy, even if you're signing him as, you know, potential backup, a third safety or a fourth corner. You know, depth, I contend that's really what killed us on defense this year, is the injuries down the stretch of the war of attrition just killed us. We couldn't play the game that we wanted to play because the personnel was not available.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Jerry.
And the other thing, and kind of what I was alluding to, is I think there's I don't want to say large contingent, but there's a pretty good sized group of people that believe this $10 million is going to free the Bills up to go out and make a trade for a guy like T. Higgins. And I don't think they understand that, you know, I'm not saying that it can't happen, but you're mortgaging a big part of your future, I believe, you do that. And $10 million bucks in the world of cap relief might seem like a ton of money, but to go out and get a T. Higgins or somebody like that, it's really not that much.
No, yeah. I don't see it either. I think they've got an assembly of guys in that room right now that are, you know, I think the onus is on the team really saying we are a unit, right? There's no divas here. We're going to spread the ball around. We're going to play smart football, and we have to coalesce. We have to be able to drive for drive match what Kansas City did in the playoff game. Every drive resulted in something positive, and it was a staring contest on who was gonna lapse, and it ended up being the Bills' defense. So we got to be able to score.
Absolutely, yeah. And last time I checked, they let Tyreek Hill go. They've done pretty good without him. So,
right, very, very true. And a bunch of wide receivers that obviously couldn't catch early in the season, and all of a sudden they win another Super Bowl. So, yeah. No, definitely. Zeke, this, I talked a little bit about this last year, and I kind of thought it was kind of curious when McDermott named himself the DC, and this year he's obviously given that position to Bobby Babbage Jr., a very, very young coach that he probably could still have quite a bit of influence on. And you look at McDermott's tenure at the Bills. He's had Josh Allen the entire time. They've gotten this AFC Championship game. We haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. You look at how this is going. Is this a – for McDermott, is he finally in that position this year where it's Super Bowl or fired? Because there's a lot of people starting to talk about it. There's rumblings that he has to have that type of season to keep his job. What's the narrative been across the nation and maybe some guys that you've talked to or you might have heard as far as McDermott? And does he get fired if this team doesn't reach that level of success?
Haven't really heard, Jerry O, to be quite honest, about that. I personally think you hate to use the term get a pass, but I think because of this turnover now, I think he would have to get at least another year in terms of, all right, well, where is this going to go, actually? You know, does Von Miller make that impact that he didn't make last year? You know, Milano, if he comes back healthy, it was good to see him, I guess, some footage today working out, at least on the side a little bit. I mentioned, you know, the safeties coming in. They need to integrate. If they can somehow be formidable, be competitive, be a playoff-type team, I got to think the Pegulas would say, look, we know we had to remodel this on the fly. He's still a good leader. You know, at some point, Babbage is probably going to have to make his inroads here, but I still think this is Sean's got his hands on this defense. I think he gets a pass at least for this year because of the turnover.
Yeah, it's funny we talk in these terms, Zig. You know, here's a team that's won the East 4 years in a row, right? Goes to the playoffs 4 years in a row. And then you got teams like Cleveland and Denver, right? We're talking about, some people are talking about his head in the middle of the season, and you're thinking to yourself, I get it. Everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. And I think maybe in the fans' eyes, they don't understand how many parts have to come together just to win a game against Cleveland, or, well, they're fair now, but back in the day, they were the doormat of the league, right? And to me, it's not that I would settle, but I look at how happy I would be to say my team is a playoff contender every year, and to know that there are 53 guys on the roster and a handful of coaches. And, you know, by the way, there's another team that's playing against them. Do you think that the fandom doesn't quite understand the significance of having a winning team? Is it an embarrassment of riches and it's ever more, ever more?
You know, John, if we were having this discussion back in 2017, they would have gone over the roof to say, hey, we'll take a playoff year, right? I mean, you know, it was, what, 17 straight years that they had missed the playoffs, right? For goodness sakes. So sometimes I think that can be the case where, you know, you get a little bit spoiled. You know, in the NFL, we've seen teams make these quick turnarounds, which is why I think the attention span is like the microwave oven. You put it in there and then, you know, you just zap it and then all of a sudden it's supposed to be good. But I think the Bills have something really good here. They've had it for the last few years. They've been a contender, but it's one of those things. It's like, why have they not gotten over the top? Well, a lot of that is because of number 15 and 87 in Kansas City. Okay. Yep. There's that. And then number 9 in Cincinnati has a lot to do with that. So that's where they got to, you know, learn that playoff, that cachet, that to be able to compete with the Cincinnati's and the Kansas City. So this has been a heck of a run that they've been on. I still think, from what I can gather, people I talk to, McDermott has the locker room. You guys, again, know better than I do. If the voice is still being heard, if the message is still getting through, that's where I think things are in good order. McDermott, again, appears to be a guy who's willing to change, make some changes, and obviously they've done this with this roster. So he and I think Bean have done a heck of a job keeping this team competitive. I see them staying that way, but again, a lot's got to happen from what we talked about earlier with all these new faces, especially at the wide receiver spot, meshing in.
Great stuff.
Zig joins us. Zig Fergassi from NFL Channel, Sirius XM's. Before I ask you the last question, Zig, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a softball, but I want to tie it into you growing up in Niagara Falls. Yeah. Let our listeners in on where they can find you during the week. And don't just give them the football version. Give them the full version, because we do have a lot of hockey fans out there. And by the way, Rangers already killed off one power play to 0-0. I'll
listen to you.
It is 0-0 as we go a few minutes into the first period in game number 4 in the Eastern Conference Final between the New York Rangers and Florida Panthers, who, by the way, have my favorite player in the league on their team. That would be Chucky Kachuk.
Oh, he's a beast.
Oh, I love him.
I love him, too.
But tell our fans where they can and our listeners where they can get you during the week, Zig.
Well, Jerry, I appreciate that. In fact, since we're talking about hockey here, tomorrow I'll be on Wednesdays during the season and the playoffs, 12:20 Eastern. It's a segment we call Dryden versus Cheevers, because me being a big Boston Bruins fan and the regular co-host Mick Kern, diehard Montreal Canadiens fan, so they concocted Dryden versus Cheevers, 12:20 Eastern p.m. on Channel 91 and the SiriusXM app. I do sports updates. Well, not tomorrow because I'll be off, but Thursdays and Fridays on our from 1 to 7 Eastern at the top of each hour. So if you're listening to NFL radio, Mad Dog radio, NBA radio, I do a sports update there through 7 Eastern time. And then I'm with Mad Dog Sports Radio, 1:30 to 6:30 Eastern, bottom of each hour. And then Saturdays and Sundays on SiriusXM NFL radio channel 88. 2 to 6 Eastern time, Saturdays and Sundays, generally throughout the off season. Other than that, I'm not busy.
Yeah. Hey, if you can't find Zig, you're not trying hard, right? he's everywhere. Hockey and football complimentary talk. So love it, Zig. It's awesome.
We're only allowed to go 30 minutes. So I'm sure Fina would probably cut out, but I could do another 30 minute show on the NHL as a Broad Street Bully fan. Growing up outside of Philadelphia. But, hey, I'm going to tell you this, Zig, as a guy that is a Boston Bruins fan, I actually had the pleasure of hanging out with Jerry Cheevers one evening at a banquet in London, Ontario, with the Canadian Flash, Timmy Tyndale. Cheevers was an awesome dude. I knew when he went and he said, "I'm going to the bar. You want some a drink?" And I said, "Yeah." And I went to tell him what I wanted, and he was like, "I got you." Like, he didn't even tell me. He just got it for me. So anyway, it was an awesome evening. But last question, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
Being in the Niagara Falls, the new stadium in Buffalo, the way things are going down, Pegula sells a portion of the team. Some feel that that's to pay for overtures of the stadium. No roof, a roof, PSLs, all the deal. How do you see this thing going? Are you happy about it? Are you excited for the fan base? You know, I think that a new stadium obviously is needed, but it's kind of your views on this whole project of a new stadium in Buffalo.
Jerry, I was old enough. I went to the first regular season game, 1970. 1973 against the New York Jets. Final score of 9-7, 3 John Leipold field goals and a Al Woodall to Jerome Barkham touchdown. I was pissed off, excuse my French, because Joe Namath was hurt, so he didn't play. I was disappointed not to see the great Joe Namath, but been to several of the games when I came back in 2000 when I saw you guys play it out there. Quite frankly, it needs to be changed because it's not a great – the sight lines are great, but if you sit up in the 300 levels, there's more room at a confessional than there is leg room up there. My gosh, the hallways are too cramped. They need this new facility. There's no question about it. The thing that concerns me too, the PSLs. In other words, the 1990s finally hit Western New York in 2024. I don't know if the people, quite frankly, are going to be able to afford those personal seat licenses, which in layman's terms, you have to pay for the privilege to buy the seat, and then you have to pay for the game ticket. So, but all of that, guys, it's needed. You mentioned, Jerry, about the potentials or the sale of a quarter of the team. Let's not forget, Pegula, he's got to put a new roof on KeyBank Center, obviously where the Sabres play. They need to do a ton of renovations for that, so that's probably where some of that money is going to wind up going. So it's needed because people want to watch games in comfort. You know, and yeah, there's, I think most of the stadium's going to be covered, so that'll be a good thing. But when you go to a game, it's got to be different from sitting at home. So is it going to be the sight lines? Is it going to be, you know, the bells and whistles, you know, enhanced food and beverage options, better views, the club scene, whatever the case may be? It's something that's overdue, and I hope they get a real nice play palace there in Orchard Park because they deserve it.
Zig, man, it's been awesome. Real quick before I let you go, why don't you let our listeners in on the good news we've heard about On the Beat alum Vic Carucci and what he was nominated for today?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. In fact, guys, before we went on, Vic, of course, outstanding colleague of mine on NFL radio, many years at the Buffalo News, many years with NFL.com. He and I believe four other reporters are up for the Bill Nunn Award, which goes to excellence in journalism at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Of course, Bill Nunn, for people who may not know who he was, if you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s and them hitting grand slams on all those draft picks and all the, you know, the great drafts that they had, especially from the smaller schools, that was because of Bill Nunn. He was a columnist or reporter for the Pittsburgh Courier, I think it was called. It was a black newspaper. And they were unearthing all these great prospects. So the Steelers management basically said, all right, maybe we need to bring this guy on board. Sure enough, they did. Then you saw Mean Joe Green, LC Greenwood, all these great players that comprised the dynasty coming from these small African-American schools, the HBCUs that they are. Long story short there, Bill Nunn, they named this award after him because he was such an outstanding journalist. Vic is up for that award.
Excellent. Zig, man, we appreciate you. We'll have you back on as we head towards the season if you'll come on with us.
Absolutely.
We always enjoy talking to you. Enjoy the time. If we can return the favor, please let us do so. Oh, yeah. But again, this has been a Tuesday edition of On the Beat, and we'll be back Thursday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, with another edition of Overreaction Buffalo. I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. He's John Fina. He is Zig Fracassi. And as always, folks, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.